Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
Turn up the string boys and Aaron rising up your bow. Turn the soundboard on Roddy and turn the lights way down low. These are hard, hard times and folks are coming head and eye to let it go. Let it go. So dance all built in 1910. These pine wood planks have seen a whole lot of dancing since then. Been through two world wars, years of drought and the Great Depression. So put your best boots on and we'll play your song. We've been through hard times before, we can do it again. Come on down and shake some friends. Move a little closer. Take it on back. Give me a sister, show those cowboys where it's at. Give a Texas twirl to that pretty little girl. Hold on honey, we'll dance till the sun comes up again. Bass is thumping, this joint is jumping. Folks from town and the county all around, every walk of life in every station. We've got bills to pay, but baby, not today. This is our Saturday night salvation. So put your best boots on and we'll play a song. Cause when your life comes unhinged, you can come on down and shake some friends.
Shake some
friends. Move a little closer.
Shake some friends.
Take it on back.
Shake some friends.
Shimmy at the sister, show those cowboys where it's at.
Shake some friends.
Give a Texas twirl.
Shake some friends.
To that pretty little girl.
Shake some friends.
Hold on honey, we'll dance till the sun comes up again.
Campfire Cafe for this Thursday in Nashville, Tennessee. Beautiful sunny day in Nashville, Tennessee. A little on the cool side, but we'll take that. Spring is on the way. Everything is blooming and looking gorgeous. I mentioned last week that Garth Brooks had just opened up his new restaurant and bar downtown on Broadway. And if you haven't been downtown in Nashville, you need to make a trip because there's so much entertainment, music everywhere. But it was just announced today, let me see if I can pull this up. A Nashville Honky Tonk is partnering up with country music star Tanya Tucker to unveil a new tequila cantina. So if you stop by Nudie's Honky Tonk down on Broadway, Tanya has just opened or is opening Tanya Tucker's Tequila Cantina on May the 2nd. So we just keep adding more and more music and more entertainment. So take a trip to Nashville. I want to say thank you to our great sponsors for the Campfire Cafe and Saddle Up America. Those are the sponsors you'll find on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. That is the general store where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle. The Legacy Select Horse Campgrounds and Guest Ranches for the finest riding destinations in the country. Visit our Legacy Select Horse Campgrounds and Guest Ranches, and then be sure and stop by east of Santa Fe. If you're in the market for Western or equestrian art or collectibles, be sure and visit our great sponsors there on east of Santa Fe. You'll find all of those on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Well, we have an outstanding show lined up for you today on the Campfire Cafe. We're going to be talking to Mr. Dave Alexander and sharing music from a great new album that he has out now called From the Saddle to Symphony Hall. And then in the second hour of the show on Saddle Up America, we'll be visiting with Mr. Rod Mays, the director of the Mustang Program and equine therapist at Three Point Center in Utah. So right now we're going to take a listen from the album From the Saddle to Symphony Hall. This is called Western Boogie. We'll be back in just a moment to talk with Mr. Dave Alexander today on the Campfire Cafe.
About 8:30 in a drop top caddy with Bob Wills Flakes. A knee-high boots and a buckaroo hat. Well, now he's looking for fun and he knows where it's at. Cause at the top of the hill, there's a joint that swings. The perfect spot for him to do his thing. He likes to boogie, Western style. He got a two-step gator foot, drives everybody wild. Yeah, he likes to boogie, Western style. She walks into the joint looking long and lean. There's just no doubt she's every cowboy's dream. With that sweet miniskirt and a buckaroo hat. If you're looking for fun, son, well, she's where it's at. Cuts the waddy out with just one wink. And then she dances all night, never buys a drink. She likes to boogie, Western style. She got a two-step jitterbug, drives everybody wild. Yeah, she likes to boogie, Western style. Let's play.
Mr. Dave Alexander, I don't know if I can keep my feet still long enough to do this introduction, Dave.
But thank you,
here's just a few of hear just a few of Dave's musical accomplishments throughout his career. He's recognized as one of the top-selling Western swing artists of his generation. 4 Grammy Award nominations, 6 Will Rogers Awards, Texas Western Swing Hall of Fame. I could just go on and on and on. He's performed with George Strait, Willie Nelson, Randy Travis, Lyle Lovett, Toby Keith, Sheryl Crow. I could go on and on and on. But please welcome to the show, Mr. Dave Alexander. Hey, Dave.
Hey, thank you, buddy. How are you? Good to be with you today.
Well, it's good to have you with us. I'm telling you, I love this album. I absolutely love the album.
Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. We're going to talk a lot about the album, but because this is the first time that you've been on the show, and I don't know why that's the case, but it is my fault. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up, how you got started in music, and how'd you get started with Western Swing?
Well, it all kind of came together unbeknownst to me. I grew up in a musical family. I'm a fifth generation musician. All of my parents, and grandparents, and great grandparents, all musicians all the way back. So, boy, it was pretty much handed to me. You know, I was playing the trumpet and riding a horse by the time I was 4 years old. So my dad was a band director, and my great granddad was a band director, and they were all musicians as well. So, you know, I didn't know any different. I thought everybody played the trumpet or clarinet or something, you know, because anytime my family got together, it was musical, I tell you. And my mother's side of the family, all ranchers and horsemen. So I settled right in the middle and found that. And then growing up, you know, our job was, the deal was is that every player should teach and every teacher should play. So I went to school and I got an education and studied and became a musician well enough that I think I could get out there and do some playing. So, but my roots came from Oklahoma, ranching on one side and all music on the other, and that's how it all began.
Okay. Wow. So when did you first start performing professionally?
You know, I had my first sock hop when I was about 12. I was a keyboard player. I played the trumpet, you know, dad started me on the trumpet, and then I got about 6 years old and I lost a tooth. And I don't know if anybody knows it or there, but if you don't have any teeth, you can't play the trumpet. That's all there is to it. So I go to my dad and I got this tooth in my hand. I say, "Hey dad, look here, I'm going to give you some money to come see me." He took that tooth out of my hand and took me by the shoulder and said, "No, this means today you're a piano player," and literally took me to the music room and gave me my first piano lesson at 6. So I always became a multi-instrumentalist because my teeth fell out. I couldn't wait for my teeth to get back in because I didn't playing that piano in that old dungy room. I could take that trumpet anywhere, go holler on it any place. But that's how that got going.
Oh, wow. Well, so how did Western Swing come about for you?
Well, growing up in Oklahoma, you know, Bob Wills got his start in Texas, but darn it, they ran him out of Texas, and he ended up in Oklahoma. And it got kind of sticky around here back in Bob's days. He was doing quite well, but he was, you know, under the thumb of Mr. Mayo, and he didn't have a chance. So he moved to Tulsa. He moved to Tulsa, he took all that stuff up there and started, and we are from that Tulsa area. My granddad and Leon McCullough, who was Bob's steel player for many years, take it away, Leon. My granddad and Leon were best friends, and so my dad started playing with Johnny Lee and would go out with Bob and Leon and those guys as a young when he was about 12, my dad was playing instrumentals, you know, playing trumpet, saxophone, and trombone, whatever, on with Leon McCullough and those guys. So I guess I met Johnny Lee, Bob's brother, when I was 3. I never met Bob, but I met Johnny Lee. My dad was playing with Johnny Lee and doing his rodeo in Tulsa. And I got to go to the rodeos. And those bands would be the rodeo band, and then they do the dance afterwards, you know. And everybody moved from the rodeo right into the dance hall or the dance barn. And they'd dance it up. So I've been on the bandstands with those old codgers for years and loved them and just loved it. And I came full circle, kind of crazy. I really didn't get into it until college. And
okay,
you know, I started working for Neiman Marcus. Believe it or not, they started a western band in their store to travel when cowboys got real popular back in the day, and that movie had come out with John Travolta, and they went western.
Yeah,
the whole country went western. I mean, everybody had something going. Playing that job, and we worked down in downtown Fort Worth and at Sundance Square at the saloon that they had created, that Neiman's had made. And I called my dad and I said, you know, it's a fun job. We play some all country, but we play some western music, and it's pretty swinging, and there's improvisation on it, and it's kind of like big band music only with country instruments, you know. My dad said, well, that's just western swing, you know. And so I said, oh, well, that's how I got it going, was right then. And then I said, I like this. This puts me kind of in the middle of where I want to be. And I started up my first western swing band. And, Gary, the first gig I got was the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Not a big one, not big at all. Yeah, not starting out big at all.
I'm going from nothing to 65,000 a night and 22 nights in a row with every star in the world. It's just a blessing. That's all I can say. And that's where I met George, and I met Willie. Started playing with the Sleep at the Wheel after that, and the rest is just history. We've had just a wonderful, wonderful deal. But it's funny how your life can come full circle like that, you know.
That's unbelievable. That's quite a story. That's a hard story to top, Dave, I'm going to tell you.
well,
I want to get to another song real quick. This is a great song. Everybody is going to know this, but it's a great song called You Don't Know Me. We're going to take a listen to that. It's from the album From the Saddle to Symphony Hall. We'll be back in just a moment to talk more with Dave Alexander today on the Campfire Cafe.
And then you say hello. I can hardly speak, my heart is beating so. And anyone can tell, you think you know me well. You don't know me. No, you don't know the one who dreams of you at night and longs to kiss your lips and longs to hold you tight. To you I'm just a friend, that's all I've ever been. You don't know me. For I never knew the art of making love, though my heart aches with love for you. Afraid and shy to let my chance go by, the chance that you might love me too. You give your hand to me and then you say goodbye. I watch you walk away beside that lucky guy. You never, never know the one who loves you so. You don't know me. Though my heart aches with love for you. afraid and shy to let my chance go by, the chance that you might love me too. You give your hand to me, and then you say goodbye, and I watch you walk away beside that lucky guy. Never know the one who loves you so. You don't know me. You'll never, never know the one who loves you so. You don't know me.
You don't know me, Cyndi Walker and Eddie Arnold. I got to tell you, Dave, I used to eat in a little meet and three in Brentwood, and Eddie and his wife would be there. We'd both end up being there about once a week, I think, and eating. And I got so tickled one night because Ms. Arnold said, you know, this would be really a cool place if they just had valet parking. And like, they're not doing valet at a meeting three at all. But anyway, it was kind of fun. This album has such a big sound to it.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you put all this thing together, because the album is called From the Saddle to Symphony Hall. It just sounds like a complete symphony plan. Tell us about
it. Well, it is a complete symphony. It's written for 65 parts, including the conductor.
Wow.
If you go that way, you know.
Wow.
I got to tell you where it got the idea. I was on Don Edwards' band. I played with Red Steigall and Don Edwards, two of my musical trail bosses back in the day, and
gotcha.
When I was in college. And while I was on Don's band, John Giordano, the conductor of the Fourth Worst Symphony, did an album on Don and arranged
that.
Some of his music. And I was on Don's band during that time. And I watched all of that unfold. And it touched my heart. I mean, it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard, a full symphony playing cowboy and Western music, because some of these melodies are so beautiful. Not that they can't be done well with a smaller group with steel guitar and guitar, but the more you add, the bigger it gets and the more beautiful it got. And it really inspired me to that point that I thought as a kid back then, I thought someday when I can, I'm going to do that. That's all there is to it. So that's where it began. So I've been always involved in all kinds of music and it worked for the Dallas Symphony for over 30 years as a piano player, as a house piano player for the Morton Meyerson Symphony Center, and I do all the parties and the pre-show for symphony when I wasn't out on the road playing with guys. I could sub it out when I needed to be gone. I could come home, and I had a little sit-down piano job that I did there in Dallas for years. And so I've always been a fan of that kind of music, and I thought someday. So long story short, COVID comes along, as we all know, and I won't tell a long story about that, but we were just out of business. And to keep from going crazy, I said, you know, I think now's the time to sit down and finish that album I've been working on for many years. So I drove a 6000 series John Deere tractor during the day and sang and listened to music and did all this stuff in my head. And I'd come home at night and I'd go, okay, here we go. And I started working on this album, and that's how it came about. That's really it.
Oh, wow.
Wrote it for 65 piece for a full orchestra. And such a thrill. I didn't realize, you know, after I got it going, how much I would like it, how crazy I am about it. And so it's a thrill to hear, and to hear it live is really something. And so that's where it all started, where I got the idea and how I came through with it.
Well, it is an awesome album. And again, it's From the Saddle to Symphony Hall, and we're going to be sharing music from that today. We're visiting with Dave Alexander. Not only is this a great album, but this also received the Wrangler Award from the Western Heritage Cowboys and Western Heritage Museum in Oklahoma City, which that's a big deal. And so you'll be receiving that award in just a couple of weeks in Oklahoma City. And
And I'm going to see you and Mary Kay there, right?
Well, Mary Kay's coming, and I'm sending our daughter because I thought that would be a great trip. She graduates this year.
There you go.
And it'll be the last big trip for the two of them together. So I thought that would be just a cool
trip. Wonderful.
So,
wonderful.
I'll stay home and feed the dogs. I'll stay home and feed the dogs. Somebody take care of them.
There's always got to do that. Yeah, buddy.
Well, let's take a listen to another song.
Yeah.
This is called Don't Fence Me In. We're going to come back and we'll talk more with Dave Alexander today. You're listening to the Campfire Cafe, heard around the world on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio. We'll be right back.
Under starry skies above, don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. Want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Don't fence me in.
Don't fence me in. Dave, every time I listen to the beginning of one of these songs, I think, wow, this is... How did you go about selecting the songs for the album?
Some of my favorites over the years and favorite people of mine that I've met over the years. That particular song inspired by, of course, the late, great Gene Autry. It makes me want to get on a horse every time I hear it. I just feel like I need to be throwing a leg over a saddle the minute I hear it. And Gene was an inspiration in my career, extreme inspiration in my year. Back on Don Edwards' band, you know, Don, we got the played his 90th birthday party.
Yeah.
Yeah. out in LA, and we did an album of that birthday party, as a matter of fact. And when I got to meet Gene, he had commented that he liked my trumpet playing. I was playing trumpet and singing for Don, and liked my singing. He said, "Son, do you ride?" And I said, "Yeah, Gene, I'm from Oklahoma, down where you're from." I said, "I grew up riding." He said, "Well, do you ride and sing?" And I said, "Well, no, I just shook my head." I said, "Well, no." And he goes, "Well, son, you should." And he wheeled off to the next boy. And I thought, it haunted me that, "Well, son, you should." So a few years later, I was riding at rodeos on horseback, singing to rodeos, and had 125 perfs my first year. I mean, it took off. I just loaded my old mare in the deal, and I said, "Hey, I'm singing. I'm opening the rodeo for you." And I was doing the Houston rodeo, so I'd had hundreds of rodeos that were affiliated with Houston. And so thanks to Gene Autry, and then that other side of that song, that melody that comes in right after that is from The Hills of Old Wyoming, which is from one of Gene's movies. And I did that with Don and a guy named Tommy Morrell years ago. Those are the kind of melodies that I'm talking about that are Western, that are just so beautiful. And another thing about this, Gary, is it's full circle. You know, most of those melodies and songs were introduced with a full orchestra because they were in Hollywood making those movies, and they used the guys that were making Gone with the Wind on one day, and they were making, a Gene Autry movie the next day. Same arrangers, same writers, same performers. That's how it was meant, that's how it was first delivered. And so I go back and kind of use that idea for my album, and that's where we get to where we are. But it's sure been a lot of fun.
It's kind of interesting when you go back, and I love the old Westerns. I drive Mary Kay crazy because she doesn't, and I do. But, when you go back and you look at the Roy Rogers and Dell Evans movies, they were all there, and the big scenes, they were just absolutely, and symphonic. Yeah, it was just absolutely great.
Incredible.
To do that. That's and I told somebody really the other day, I was watching, I can't remember what it was. But Bob Wills was riding and all of his band, they were riding and singing. He was big spotted horse that he was riding. So it was kind of a hoot.
Right. How about that? Well, I felt like this was a way, with the Western and the Western swing and the cowboy, I felt this is also a way to bring Bob to the big house, is what we call it. I don't know that it's been done before. It may have, but I don't know anybody that's brought in these Western swing songs that I did of Bob Wills, of course. And I wanted that to be symphonic. And let me tell you, they just love it when I bring it to the symphonies and play. I mean, they go crazy over Big Balls and Cowtown and Take Me Back to Tulsa, deep in the heart of Texas. And, well, you'd think they were, they were about ready to jump up and dance. I mean, it is so much fun. And I tell people tonight, we've got the largest Western swing band in the world. This is world history with 65 people here, never been done before, I don't think.
Gosh, that's awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, I'm going to get to a song that you wrote now. So it's called Every Setting Sun. What's your songwriting process like? How do you write?
I pretty much, have some reason of something that I want to get out there, from the heart. And this particular song, I rodeoed for years, and like I was telling you, did the horse thing and produced music for rodeos with all the old great contractors. And I ran across a boy by the name of Phil Gardenhire, who was a six-time world champion announcer, went to the NFR six times. He and I became great friends, and we'd rodeo, but we'd go out on the road, but we really weren't on the road. We'd go do a rodeo, and then we'd come back home and do our laundry and see our family for a minute, and then we'd go back out. We'd rodeo Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday, we'd have a little church service, and everybody'd join together, and that might be in Odessa, Texas. And then the next one, we'd meet next weekend, like in San Antonio or whatever the next one was. And this great announcer buddy of mine was just a true cowboy. I mean, you would love him. He was just a super guy. And we went just back on the regular road like we were, and he didn't come back from one of the rodeos. And unfortunately, somebody in Hugo, Oklahoma, had run the only red light at 11 o'clock in the morning while he was taking his boy to get a haircut, and we lost him. that day. And I was so inspired by this guy. He was a gentleman to the T, a Christian cowboy that wore matching chaps and vest and rode a big paint pony out of big cutting pony out of Oklahoma, and just a super guy. And I just had to write this song for him, and this is what it is.
Well, this is a great song. Let's take a listen to it. We're talking with Dave Alexander. This is Every Setting Sun from the album From the Saddle to Symphony Hall. We'll be right back.
Rodeo brought him to our town from miles and miles away. We love to hear his voice as we listen to him say. At a shoot number two comes a young cowboy, one you've never seen. But when he pulls that rope and nods his head, he'll be chasing all his dreams. Then he'd make that ride come alive as he called it play by play. And when that cowboy hit the ground, he'd say, son, are you okay? He'd ask us all to give a hand as the young boy walked away. Then he'd say, don't you count him out, my friend. He'll be back again someday. As he rides in every setting sun, and he ropes the clouds of white, and I know if there's a rodeo in heaven, he'll be riding there tonight. The Lord was in his saddle every time he mounted up, and he was quick to share the word with you if you were down on your luck. I know he was a happy man, he spoke of a son and a wife, but deep inside his heart I knew that cowboy was his life. So the next time you're at a rodeo and you see cowboy fall, or you watch a young child touch a horse, you'll know the wonder of it all. And when they crack that chute gate and the ride gives you a thrill, we'll take a moment if you will and think of our friend Phil as he rides in every setting. And he ropes the clouds of white, and I know if there's a rodeo in heaven, he'll be riding there tonight. He rides.
Beautiful song, Dave. Beautiful song.
Thank you, buddy.
I have friends in Hugo, Oklahoma.
Really?
Their ministry is the Cowboy Crossroads Church there in Hugo.
Oh, and they might know Phil. Yeah,
they might have. Yeah,
Small world.
Doris Merritt is from Nashville. And she's part of the girls. She's part of the girls next door. You might remember them from
the
80s and 90s,
yeah.
And they've gotten back together again and performing. Yeah,
but terrific.
Doris is always on the road back from Hugo, back here to Nashville to get together with her.
I'll bet. Yeah, so. That's nice. Great.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So I'm going to just mention this real quickly because you talked about horseback riding. You raise Gypsy Varners?
Yep, Gypsy Vanners. Yes, sir. Yes.
Gypsy Vanners?
My wife, Sherry, and I, we raise Vanners, yeah.
How'd you get into the Gypsy Vanners?
Well, my wife is an artist, and long story short, I opened we play for a lot of openings of special events, and I opened for a big hotel down here in Dallas and met the architect. Okay. And my wife was always looking for something to paint. And gypsies are pretty horses. They got a lot of hair and they kind of look like a grown up's my pony kind of horse, you know.
Right.
There's a lot
right,
to them.
Right.
And long story short, we went to go see them, and I saw the prettiest horse I'd ever seen in my life. It was totally different from the rodeo world and the cutting horse world and all that. But this was a beautiful animal that had been brought over here from England and from Europe. And we stumbled across them. And, you know, I'd raised had horses all my life and had rodeoed and done quarters and all of that. But I said, you know, we should do that. So we did. We bought one and one went to two and two went to four and four went to eight. And we started making babies and selling them and having fun out here at the ranch with them. They're such a kind animal. And they're not for everybody, you know. If you like a lot of spunk and a lot of get and go, get after it. Well, this might not be your horse, but my clientele are 12-year-old kids or 75-year-old folks that don't want to get hurt. One of the two.
They're beautiful animals, and so I just had to mention that because it's horses and music for me.
Me too.
That's kind of been my life.
Cowboy.
Kind of been my life.
That whole world. I'm with
that's
you right.
right
there. I have a big connection to the horses. Always had my first horse because my dad had bought me a horse because I got on a pony ride. He said I could have all the rides I wanted, and I rode so much on that pony ride that it was cheaper for him to buy the Shetland than it was for letting me get on it at a quarter a pop every day. So
I started to say that machine gets expensive, doesn't it? Yeah,
it got really expensive. That's right. So he bought me a Shetland when I started riding when I was four, but I got my Shetland when I was five. And from then on, you know how it is. If it's in your blood, it's like music. You're going to do it. It chooses you.
You're going to do it.
You don't really choose it. You got no choice. Just get up and enjoy
that's
it.
Right.
You know? But
that's right.
I love it. That's for sure. Yeah.
Hey, I want to mention real quickly the album cover and front and back is absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
Folks that are listening on the radio, it's got a picture of a man on horseback herding some longhorn cattle. But Sherry did the back cover of this, and you
that's
mentioned
right.
that she's an artist.
Yeah,
it's absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. This looks like it could be Arizona or Utah or
That's
Monument
Valley. That's Monument Valley, one of my favorite places in the world. She and I traveled out there. Drug horses through there and horse trailers, and we've stayed and just loved it. And she made that painting for the album, and it's really beautiful. And that's a Jack Terry on the front. He and I are buddies as well, and so a Jack Terry and a Sherry Alexander on it. You get a couple of pieces of art when you do it. I love to incorporate art in music, and I love to bring paintings. Sometimes Sherry will go with me to the symphony halls, and we'll do a little art, Western art, you know, show there just for people to see kind of what we like, because it's all so much tied together with the beauty of our country and the beautiful of our Western lifestyle and all of those things and how we express that today as people right here on earth, you know, not right now, living today. That's our expression of that. So it's just all ties together. It's a lot of fun.
It ties together. It is a beautiful album cover and back, and a beautiful album.
Thank you.
If it's okay with you, I'm going to try to get to a couple more songs before we're finished and have to go into the next segment of the show.
Absolutely.
But you wrote this next song, and this is Hold You in My Heart. Tell us about Hold You in My Heart.
Right. Well, it's inspired by kind of a situation, a love situation that, you know, timing is everything in our lives. And sometimes, I had a friend that used to say she was at her ship came in, but she was at the airport when it did, you know, she was at the wrong spot. And, And so timing is everything. And I wrote this song about that, about somebody being together but not really being able to work that out. But, you know, you never know how things work out. And sometimes they do work out. So timing, it's all about timing. It's called Hold You in My Heart. If I can't hold you in my arms now, well, I'll hold you in my heart for a long time.
It is a beautiful song. Let's take a listen. You're listening to the Campfire Cafe. We'll be back in just a moment.
I know I think about you a little more than I should. It is no harm to anybody. In fact, it does me good. The odds were stacked against us, and we knew that from the start. If I can't hold you in my arms, I can hold you in my From the first time that I saw you, as my heart began to race, I looked into your eyes and I saw me on your face. Into your soul I ventured, a place you have embarked. I could not hold you in my arms, I could hold you in my a day when we can share our lives together, and in our arms share all the charms of a lifetime. Well, forever. But until then, I will be your friend, and I will keep this in my mind. For dreams are often something even lovers never find. I'm not one to give up early, I'm not one to even start, till I can hold you in my arms, I will hold you in my
song written and performed by Mr. Dave Alexander. And Dave, it's been so much fun having you on the show. We're going to have to do this again.
Thank you so much. I'd love to. Yeah. Absolutely love to. I appreciate you so much, Gary. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. And we want our audience that's listening around the world to find out how they can get your music and how they can follow your tour and maybe buy some horses. I don't know.
You
but give us your website. How can we get your music?
DaveAlexander.com is my umbrella of all my Western swing band, my symphony stuff. They can get my albums there. They can click on the albums where our music, there's an Our Music button, and it'll take you right to that. It is also available on iTunes, Apple Music. They can download if they go through there and want to do that, or we'll send them a hard copy, an autographed hard copy, if they can see how they can order right there on the website when they go to DaveAlexander.com.
All right. And that is the way to do it. And I'm telling you, you haven't seen the album, or if you haven't seen the album, you want to. And the cover and the back are both beautiful on this. So, and help these independent artists out. Go ahead and buy music directly from them. And that's actually the way to do it. So where are you performing?
That helps a lot. I'm right now all over. I still do some shows here locally in the Dallas and Fort Worth and North Texas area. And then I'm lining up. I'll be up with the symphony. I have symphony jobs coming up in the fall, because in the summer I kind of take a little time and go do some cowboy things. And we start getting ready for making hay this time of year. So just about into hay season. And I'll kind of slack off a little bit and kind of get ready for the next. But I'll still do some festivals coming up for the and some private events coming up in the summer. All that will be posted on my website of where's next and what's going on. And we stay good and busy. And luckily, by the grace of God, that's the way it's working. So we'll keep at it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, you have been great to have visit with us. And we look forward to having you come back again. And by the way, you're on social media, so be sure and check him out on social media as well as his website,
yes.
DaveAlexander.com. And Dave, we're going to close this segment of the show out with a great song. It is the Big Tulsa Medley. And come back and see us again, my friend.
I sure will, my brother. I appreciate you so much.
All right. Thank you. We'll be right back.
I'm eating saltine crackers, just 10 cents a pound. A big balls in Captown, we'll all go down. A big balls in Captown, we'll dance around. Oh, bitch. Big balls and cat down, we'll all go down. A big balls and cat down, we'll dance around. Hey! Put on your new shoes, put on your gown. Shake off those sad blues, a big balls in town. A big balls in Captown, we'll all go down. A big balls in Captown, we'll dance around. Here we go. Said, where's that gal with the red dress on? Some folks call her Dinah. Stole my heart away from me way down in Louisiana. Come on, take me back to Tulsa. I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Tulsa. I'm too young to wed thee. Would I like to go to Tulsa? Lord, you bet your boots I would. You just let me off at Archer, son, and I'll walk down to Greenwood. Come on, take me back to Tulsa. I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Tulsa. I'm too young to wed thee. Saltine crackers, just 10 cents a pound.
big balls in town.
All right, that is a great song from Mr. Dave Alexander. And when Dave and I were talking a little bit earlier, one of the things I told him was that I had gone back a few years and found a song that he did with our good friend Mickey Daniel Province. And Mickey's gotten married and is out racing horses in New Mexico and raising babies. We haven't seen her in a while, but I just thought I'd throw this song in just for fun. And it's Mickey Daniel Province and Dave Alexander. It's called It's a Sin to Tell a Lie. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Campfire Cafe, heard around the world on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and most streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Have been broken just because these words were spoken.
That's true. I love you, yes I do, I love you, and if you break my heart, I'll die.
So be sure that it's true when you say I love you. It's a sin to tell a lie.
Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. When we come back, we'll be traveling to Three Point Center in Utah. Right now, let's take a listen to a great song from Miss Lani Wilson. Lani Wilson, it's called Wild Flowers and Wild Horses. We'll be right back on Saddle Up America.
In the middle of the night,
Wild Flowers and Wild Horses. Welcome back to Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. So right now we're going to be visiting with Mr. Rod Mays. He's a returning guest. He is the director of Mustang Programs and Equine Therapist at Three Point Center in Utah. Rod obtained a BS degree in psychology from Brigham Young University and an MS degree in marriage and family therapy from Colorado State University. Three Point Center works with challenged adopted children with equine therapy. So welcome to the show, Rod, and I think you have a guest with you today too, don't you?
I absolutely do. Thank you. Yeah, I'm actually transitioning out of my role because I'm headed to Peru, and so I wanted to introduce y'all to a young lady named Harley Bagellin. She's taken over my role, and she's been with us for some time, helped develop the whole program that we have out there.
Well, hello, Miss Harley. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you guys?
Good. 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 Well, Rod, it's been a couple of years, I think, since you've been on the show, And
it's gone fast.
It does. I don't know what's happened to time. The older I get, the quicker it goes. But one of the fascinating things is that, and you may be the only equine therapy program that I'm aware of that works with adopted children. So tell us a little bit about the program, and then tell us how you developed the program using Mustangs, the wild horses of America.
Well, you know, you're right. We came up with the idea. When I say me, I don't mean me, but the couple of the owners came up with the idea of, let's just do something special for adoptive kids, because adoptive kids represent about 30 to 40% of kids in treatment. And they really only represent just about 2% of, you know, kids in general. So they're a real highly represented group. And these guys said, let's do something individual, special for these kids. And that's what they've done. So while we were doing this, At one point, I watched a video at Arizona State Prison, and I said, I wonder, you know, if we could do something like that at our program. And the owner said, wow, I don't know, so let's try it. And it was funny because I remember at the time we were developing it, kind of our colleagues, our peers from other programs said, well, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard of. In fact, if you do that, you guys are just fools. And so I went out to the prison there in Arizona, spent about 3 days and sat down with the inmates, and was impressive. I mean, they said to me things like, one guy said, you know, that's the first time I learned to love myself.
Yeah.
And they were in for, you know, some crimes, drugs and different things. And but all of them, without an exception, said, you got to do this for adolescents. So I said, okay. So came back, and we got our first horse, who's still with us today. First Mustang, and it's been a great experience. I mean, and when I say great, I don't just mean, wow, this has been a lot of fun for Harley and I, because Harley, she started a couple of years after we started kind of developing the idea. It's more than that. You know, just to give you, I'll give you a little snippet. So there was a young lady. We do two things. We do equine therapy, which every group that's there does that once a week. And then we do what's called the Mustang program, which is optional, meaning the kids decide they want to participate. They don't have to if they don't want to. And if they do go into it, it's every day of the week, Monday through Friday.
Okay.
Well, there was this young lady who was like, I don't, you know, horses are stupid. I don't want to do that. And I don't want to be involved in equine therapy either. So every week she'd come and she wouldn't speak to me. She'd bring a book. And then, you know, I'd kind of chat with her, like, how's it going? Nothing. I mean, she would just be like, just put her hand up, like, don't talk to me. Don't bother me. And that went on for, oh, I'll bet it went on for 9 months. And one day, so she's finally starting to participate, right? And then she actually opts and gets into our Mustang program. And one day she says, they're all leaving. And she gets probably 2 car lengths away and runs back. Come back, and she throws her arms around me, and I'm just standing there in shock. You know, those are the kind of moments that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And she just, you know, gave me this big hug and then left. And I watched her program, you know, her process, her involvement change. And I honestly wouldn't say it had anything to do with what I did. I just, you know, I love horses, and I was there, but it just took me off my feet because I thought, here's this person who, up to now, I would have said, yo, she's kind of rude, you know, just kind of give you the hand like, just don't even try. And the only thing I can tell you that had the impact was those darn horses. You can give a wild Mustang to 3 different kids. And 3 different kids will get their needs met by those horses. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's no question that horses have an effect on people, because I know if I just go out in the pasture and I've had a stressful day, if I just go out in the pasture and get a brush and start brushing on my horse,
yeah,
the tension just goes away and I just feel better. But it's amazing to me what effect that these wild Mustangs have on people, people that are going through trauma, people that have
yeah.
suffered from PTSD. What kind of situation do these adoptive children come out of when they come to your facility?
They've all been adopted at different ages, and they've come to a point where the schools can't handle them. Their parents will often say to me, you know, Rod, we put real locks on our bedroom doors because we're so afraid of our child.
Wow.
They've run away. They've been abused by the, you know, kids that they hang
been
out with.
Been through the foster system. Yeah, been through a foster system.
That foster system is, you know, they've had some problems there too. And that isn't to say that adoptive kids, you know, the adoption doesn't work. It does. But
right.
there's enough of these on that edge that they just don't want to be touched by anybody, anything. They haven't attached to anybody, anything. And so then we put them in this corral, this small 12 by 40 corral with a horse that's as terrified as they are, right? And we say, okay, your job is to get this horse's confidence and take it from being wild and wanting to break its neck to get out of the pen to be willing to work with you, learn how to load in a trailer, pick up its feet, halter it. And, you know, of course, we mentor them along that process. We've got 10 steps that they go through to do that. But these kids are as terrified as the horses. And there's an amazing magic that happens there. I remember
yeah.
the old metaphor, the black box metaphor. They'd say, you know, you put something in and then something amazing comes out, but who knows what goes on in the inside. That's what this experience is with horses, with these Mustangs. And the fact that both of them are very reactive, frightened, it creates that magic.
Harley, how did you get involved in this program? What's your background with horses?
So my background with horses is kind of just cowboying around a little bit. I would ride, go get cows off the range, and then I decided that I actually wanted to make something out of it. So went up to 3 Point. They had horses and started talking about it and met Rod, and he was like, yeah, we work with wild horses with teenagers. I was like, wow, this sounds kind of crazy, but it's fun. Let's get into it. And I dropped dead. It's been the best experience of my life. Not only am I teaching these kids how to have confidence, but they see a true meaning in life. They work all of their traumas with an animal that's going through the same thing, and they see a light at the end of the tunnel. And once they get to that point, I truly can't describe how it makes you feel.
So what's your experience with these Mustangs been like? Had you had experience with a wild horse before, or just domestic horses?
My experience before was just registered quarter horses. So coming into this
okay.
with the wild horses and Mustangs, I was like, oh, man, what am I getting myself into? But, you know, everyone swears by a registered quarter horse, but Mustang, in my opinion, they kind of do a little bit, they do better. You can actually build a bond with these horses. They know where they feed are. They want to work with you once you build that connection, and they're truly there for you. And they teach you a lot about yourself. You're not going to hide how you're feeling that day. You're going to have to work through it, and that's the biggest thing with these kids. They walk in the pen and they say, oh, I can do it, it's just a horse. And then they actually start working through their stuff, and they're like, this horse isn't doing anything with me. And we're like, well, you have to figure out how to work as a team. You got to figure out how to have a relationship, not just force something upon this animal.
Oh, wow. Rod, how long do the children, or the young, I guess they're teenagers, young adults? Yeah, going into this thing. How long do they go through the program with the Mustangs, and at what point? Because I know that you take those Mustangs, and then after they've been, I guess what we used to call tip trained, after they've learned
mm-hmm.
so much, then they're auctioned off or sold. So how long is the program for these kids?
So these kids could be in this program. I mean, so they'll be at 3 Points for probably a year and a half average. And depending on when they jump in, right? So they might take 6 months before they actually decide that they're willing to work with a horse. But then,
okay.
You know, at that point, they could work with several horses. Once they finish them and somebody adopts, they could go on to another one. I had one young man who was funny because the first group starts at 6:30 in the morning, and he decided that that was just too early for him, so he wouldn't show. And so I said,
I'm with him on that, Rod, by the way. 6:30 is too early. I haven't had my coffee yet.
I said to him, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to help you out. You don't have to come anymore. I said, Jill, you're out. And he didn't like that. He came back, maybe a month later, and he ended up being one of the best trainers that I had. Now, this was a young man that was constantly stealing everybody's stuff.
Oh,
didn't
wow.
want to do anything with his parents. He was angry with his adoptive parents and just was doing anything he could to destroy that relationship. I don't recall exactly, but I think he trained 5 Mustangs for us.
Oh, wow.
By the end of it, I actually did a therapy session with him and his parents, and he basically let them off the hook. I don't need to be angry at you anymore. And all of that came through the process of working with those horses where his heart softened.
Yeah.
He was dependable. The other kids would come to him like, what do I do with this horse? And I just think how amazing that was, because in the beginning, nobody trusted the kid. Nobody wanted to work with the kid because he lied. He'd steal stuff right from you, and ended up being a very respectful young man.
Yeah.
So,
and a mentor to some others.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
But, so they walk away, and I always say to these kids, look, you're doing something that very few people even on this earth have done, train a wild horse. That the numbers relatively to how many people there are on this earth is very small.
Right.
And I look at it,
right.
You're now one of those people. Nobody can take that away from you. And I just can't tell you confidence that being with a wild horse, because they go in that first day and that horse is snorting and stomping and running around, and they look at me like, hey, this is going to kill me. And I say, I hope not. and then I already kind of know what's going to happen because we've done it so many times. We don't put them in harm's way. But
right.
I let them get stressed because that's where they have to grow. Right.
Right.
And I tell you,
right.
I remember one day looking out and there were 4 girls who, when they started into the program, they were just, terrified of the horse. And we have a big lawn area out in the middle of it all. And one day I looked out there and each of them had their own horse that they had trained, walking around on the grass, with the halter on. And it just brought me to tears because I thought, wow, here's girls that were, they didn't have confidence in themselves. Now taking these wild horses that once couldn't stand next to out on the grass, and they were excited. They were enjoying it, and of course those horses were adopted, which is hard for these kids, because they know what adoption's about. And what we say to them, or what I would say is, I'd say, look, because these kids resent their adoption. They feel like that was, if people would have left them alone, they would have been fine. But typically they were pulled out of the home because their mom was doing drugs. They weren't being taken care of. It was a very unsafe situation, right? But they can't see that, and so they just blame everybody for being adopted. And so I would say to them, hey, what's your intentions with this horse being adopted? And they go, well, I want it to go to a home that's going to take care of it and give it a good job. So you want something good for the season? They'd be like, yeah. And I'd say, well, let's look at your adoption. Is it possible that maybe the people involved in that had the same hopes for you? And it's just like someone flips on the light switch because they're so angry about being adopted, But now that they've been through that experience, they have something they can understand and relate to. So my hat's off to those horses in so many ways. Truly, they've done a magnificent job for us.
It's pretty amazing, pretty amazing. Well, I want to take a real quick break. And Harley, when we come back, I need you to tell me about Mustang Alley. I think there's something called Mustang Alley out there. So I need to find out what that's all about. But right now we're going to take a listen to a song from Mr. Wiley and the Wild West. It's called Wild Mustang, and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
I'm wild, I'm woolly, I'm full of fleas. I've never been carried below the knees. I've never been hobbled, I've never been tamed. You can't touch me, baby, I'm a wild Mustang. I'm wild, I'm wild, I'm wild, I'm a wild Mustang. You can build your pens horse high, hog tight. You can track me, baby, all day and all night. You can try to run me off of my range, but you can't touch me, baby, I'm a wild Mustang. I'm a wild, I'm a wild, I'm a wild, I'm a wild Mustang. Mustang, I'm a wild, I'm a wild, I'm a wild, I'm a wild Mustang.
Wally Gustafson, Wild Mustang. We're talking with our good friends from Three Point Center in Utah, Rod and Harley. And Harley, tell us about this Mustang Alley. What is that all about?
So Mustang Alley, it's kind of it's my piece of heaven. We get to train, we get to help teach these adopted youth how to train a Mustang with our 10-step program. And after they have trained them to halter and lead, pick up their feet and trailer load, then we go through a selling process and teach and show the kids that all of their hard work has paid off and that these Mustangs are going to go to a good home because of the kids.
Okay. So is Mustang Alley where the Mustangs go after they have been through that 4-step training process and are ready for their new homes? Okay.
Yeah. So, yep, it's all part of Three Point Center.
It's where they live.
All right. That's where they live. Okay. All right. Very good.
Yes.
Now, do any of the kids ever become horsemen? Do they ever end up adopting any of the Mustangs themselves and taking them home, or do they ever come back and work as a volunteer, or what's the result for some of these kids?
So we've had one student come back and adopt a horse from us, but a lot of the students, after they leave, they do get involved. I've had a couple students go out and work on ranches out in Texas, and we have one that wants to go to school to become a vet. And all just because of the start of coming to Three Points and learning the little bit they learn with the Mustangs, it creates a drive for them to continue it on outside of Three Point Center and build a career in it. So that's been really cool to see.
That is great. That is absolutely great. And where do most of the horses go after they've been through the program there? Where are they adopted? Where are they sold?
You know, we've had them adopted as far away as Germany.
Really?
I would say, wouldn't you say, Harley, I mean, we get a lot kind of concentrated close, but up through Wyoming, over to California, Arizona.
Yeah, we've had a couple out to Texas, too.
Yeah. You know, the longer we're around, the more people hear about what we do and how we do it and, you know, who we do it with, and that's drawn people from farther away.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. So Rod, how long have you been there? How long have you had this equine therapy program in place?
Well, we started the Mustang program 6 years ago.
Okay.
I started there before then, but the day we actually brought in our first Mustang was 6 years ago. Years ago in February. So there's been a lot of kids that have had their hands on Mustangs since we've been going. We've done, I don't know, how many have we done, Harley? 200 plus. It's been,
wow.
I don't know, it was a year ago, roughly
200.
Yeah, we had belt buckles made for us when we hit our 100 horse mark, and we were pretty excited about that, and we've done that was a couple years ago. So
mm-hmm.
we've done
that
quite a
fantastic.
Few. And we, when I say we, it's the kids and us. The kids even help build all the corrals and things that we have. They love coming out and working on those things because it's something different, you know. Nothing is obligatory.
Right.
It's all volunteer. I mean, they don't have to participate in it. If they want to, they do. And a lot of kids, they like that opportunity just to be around the horses. And so they come out.
Well, I could tell, Rod, that you got a little bit emotional talking about that young lady that didn't want to talk to you at first, and then she came back and hugged you.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of transformation have you seen in these kids primarily?
Well, you know, here's a good example. So we just had a national retailer come and do a documentary at our place here a month ago. And they brought one of our students back who worked in the Mustang program.
Okay.
And I recall her always saying to me, am I doing this right? Am I okay? Do you think my parents are going to want me to come back after all I've done? Very unsure of herself. And it was so fun to see her because she's like, hey, I've got a boyfriend. I'm going into the Army. I've got, you know, I'm headed in a direction. I've got hope. I feel good about who I am, you know.
Right.
And that just melts you because you know where they come from.
Yeah.
You know what they've
yeah.
been through from what they share with you. And to see them smile and have hope. I mean, this young lady didn't have it. She didn't have hope. She felt like this was the end of the road for her, and she was only a teenager. And now she's like, you know, as they were interviewing her, she's like, the horses made a difference in my life, and they still do. And I just thought, you couldn't have said something better to me. I mean, my life will always have that bit of pride with those kids that occasionally contact us. And when they do, they want to talk about the horses. They want to talk about that program and all the things that happened there that just made them feel like they were better than they thought they were. So for me, you know, I hope when I come back from Peru, somehow I get an opportunity to go around and help other programs realize this is a real secret. These horses, these wild horses can do amazing things for the kids at your center.
They open doors.
You don't force it. You know, you don't force it. You let the kids and the horse happen together. I would say to the parents, don't force your kids. Don't try and get them to get into this program. Let them decide they want to do it. Because if you tell them, you better do those Mustangs, they won't do it, right? But once they decide.
I wanted to ask real quickly. I know with some of the veterans programs that are out there where they've been
mm-hmm.
working with Mustangs, or whether it's Mustang or not, in some of the veterans programs, they bring in family members to work with the Mustangs. Have you ever done that with any of the parents of these children that – maybe create a bond that way with parents and the kids?
Yeah, in fact, Harley was parent weekend was just shortly here, and we involve the parents and the Mustangs in those processes all the time. Sometimes we have families come up and just do a session with their horse that they're training.
Yeah.
You know, and the parents can really see that this horse is doing something, that there's something occurring here. And then the families get connected to that horse. They want to know, well, what's happened to that horse? How's it doing? What's going on?
Right, right.
And it gives the parents hope because they can see the kid is actually attaching to something. And one of the issues for these kids is they don't attach. They don't trust. Same thing with this horse. It doesn't trust, right? And so when that bond happens, it's pretty magic and it's solid. And these kids walk away going, I was better than I thought I was. Yeah, you can't buy that. You just can't buy that. You know, I've done therapy for 32 years, and I can't do what those horses can do.
Well, it's pretty amazing. It's a pretty amazing program that you put in place there at Three Point Center. And you have another center, don't you? Is that in North Carolina? Am I correct?
Yeah, we do. Yep.
So do they have the equine program in North Carolina as well?
They do. They do. So can I throw a curveball at you for a second?
Yeah.
Okay. So recently a movie came out about treatment centers, and somehow they pulled us in to be as part of all the other centers. And they were talking about how they punish and do behavioral things. So this has hit us pretty hard because we're not like that. If a kid messes up, we don't take away the horse. We don't take away their parent calls. We don't put them in a room. None of that.
Right.
But the places that they highlighted and drew us in with, said that we were part of, they do all that. Our 10-step program for the horses is specially formulated to develop relationship with a horse because these kids don't want relationships because they don't trust them, right?
Right.
Well, we got thrown into that, and so now we're getting a lot of fire because people believe that we're a behavior place, and we're all relationships. We don't believe in taking away the privileges because it's not like I can say to you, look, if you go out and pick 10 dandelions, that'll make up for that whatever you did. So you go and pick 10 dandelions, and now I can make you a great dandelion puller, right? But it didn't help with relationships. We're about relationships. And so I'm sad because, as you know, I'm leaving, but I'm sad because we've been drug in with this other group saying that we punish kids and we do all these things. In fact, the chapter that we're in says follow the money. I just say to you, a Mustang program is very, very expensive. And the owner said, we're going to do it. Anyways, we don't make money on the horses. We don't even make enough to pay for the hay.
That's right. Hay's not cheap today either for hay.
Right.
My goodness.
And so all I'm saying is, That movie that's out there highlights this as just part of all the rest, and they kind of twist words and things around, but we're not like them. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud that we're about relationships and that the owner said, let's bring these horses in and do this. And we've done it now for 6 years, and it's been the highlight of my career to watch these kids and these horses together change. You know, you just can't buy that. You just can't.
No, you can't.
Too many kids home, you know, with greater confidence and better self-esteem and ability to attach. And I just go, wow, the magic of the horse. Amazing.
Wow. Well, after the show, you're going to have to tell me what this documentary is. We may be putting some word out about that. But Harley, when he comes back from Peru, since you're going to be taking over as the director of the Mustang program there, would you hire him to come back? Would you let him come back and work any?
Oh, 1,000%. If he called me and said he was ready to come back, I'd be so happy.
All right.
Your money's in the mail, Harley. I appreciate you making up that.
Gosh. Well, we look forward to keeping up with what's happening at Three Point Center and with the Mustang program. And Harley, we'll have to have you back. And good luck in Peru. I'm telling you,
that's
going to be quite an experience for you. So I guess you'll be there, what, a couple of years or something?
Yep, we will. Yeah.
So
it'll be a journey.
Good luck with that. I know that you'll have... Well, I imagine you can. If you look for them, you'll find them. They're there. But thanks for what you're doing to help these kids. Thanks for what you're doing to help the Mustangs. And thank you both for taking the time to be with us today. We really appreciate it. Good luck to you as you journey to Peru. And Harley, we'll keep up with you and keep up with what's going on at Three Point Center. Thank you so much.
Sounds good.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right. We're going to take a listen to another song from Mary Kay Holt. It's called Horse Lover. Harley, this may apply to you, but we're going to take a listen to that and come back and talk a little bit more on Saddle Up America when we return.
Grass, $6 a bale now, back feed is up again. The beans and ramen noodles are the same. The shoe is wanting cash now and grass is getting thin. But the pasture's starting back now from that rain. Payments aren't too bad on my fancy two-horse land. Sure is dandy hauling to the trail. I'm living in a single wide to afford the things I can. Just found another vet bill in the mail. I'm holding on to the end of my rope. As long as I've got horses, I've got hope. Since I've got one of those hearts that don't beat to a drummer, it just gallops along, cause I'm a horse lover. Horses keep me living the way I like. My equine therapy is all I need, and I wouldn't trade it for any other life. I'm holding on to the end of my rope. As long as I've got horses, I've got hope. Yes, I've got one of those hearts that don't beat to a drummer. It just gallops along, cause I'm a horse lover. From my friend, I know I done right to make the sacrifice, and in a heartbeat I'd do it all again. I'm holding on to the end of my rope. As long as I've got horses, I've got hope. I've got one of those hearts that don't beat to a drummer. It just gallops along, cause I'm a horse lover. That I'm a certifiably, undeniably, won't recover horse lover. Can I hear an amen?
First Lover is the song. And a lot of fun today on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network with the Campfire Cafe, visiting with Mr. Dave Alexander. That is a great album that he has. It's called From the Saddle to the Symphony Hall. And be sure and pick that up. DaveAlexander.com is his website. And then great to visit with Rod and with Harley to talk about the Mustang program and the equine therapy program at Three Point Center in Utah. So we wish Rod luck as he travels to Peru and does his work over there. And continued good luck to Harley with the equine therapy program there in Utah. Well, it's been a good show, as I said. We want to remind you that you can listen to all of our shows. I think we're close to 1,000 shows now. You can go back and listen to the rebroadcast of those by visiting our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And you can always go back and listen on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio. We want to remind you that we have the Mustang Heritage Spectacular coming your way in June. That will be June the 20th through the 23rd at the Williamson County Ag Center in Franklin, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville. And that is $150,000 in cash prizes that will be given away. There will be a celebrity spectacular. There will be an extreme Mustang makeover as well as an open show. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun. That's all coming your way June the 20th through the 23rd. Visit MustangHeritageFoundation.org to find out more information. And you can order tickets from that website as well. We want to thank our sponsors of Equestrian Legacy Radio. And those are the sponsors you'll find in the general store. Our Legacy Select Horse Campgrounds and Guest Ranches east of Santa Fe. You'll find all of those sponsors on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Well, thank you for joining us. Be sure and tune in next Tuesday for the live broadcast of Live from Nashville. And then back here on Thursday for the live edition of the Campfire Cafe in Saddle Up America. We're going to close out this show with a great song from our friend, Miss Kristen Harris. And in continuing the theme of Mustangs, this song is called The Mustang Waltz. Thanks for listening.
She's mucking stalls, but she whistles a call, and hoofbeats are heard rapidly. From the pasture comes a whirling mad horse to her girl and slides to a stop right on beat. 'Cause the Mustang waltz plays through their lives every day. It's a dance in their veins. Own way, for there never was a free as they glide to a low. The wind whistles a note to add to their song's harmony. 'Cause the Mustang will play through their lives every day. It's a dance in their very own way.
No.